Jesus is risen. Alleluia. Happy Easter, everyone. Every year, I meet people who come to the parish only on Christmas and Easter. Maybe some of you are in that category. So to any guests or visitors who are here for the Easter celebration, joining us for this joyous occasion, special welcome to all of you. I know a man who attends Mass only once a year. It's not Christmas or Easter, but Palm Sunday. He always goes on Palm Sunday because he likes the procession with the palms and that story of the entry into Jerusalem and then the reading of the Passion. It is a very rich liturgy last Sunday. Too bad, sayang, he doesn't come back on Easter Sunday. Sayang, he doesn't get the rest of the story. On Palm Sunday, we end the gospel with Jesus in the tomb. And that man, he doesn't come back until the next Palm Sunday, and Jesus ends up in the tomb again. He misses not only the rest of the story, but the better part of the story. Today, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the tomb. That's why the tomb is empty when they get there. This is the very heart of our faith. Today is the feast of all feasts. Jesus' resurrection on a Sunday, the first day of the week, is the reason why we honor Sunday, every Sunday, as the Lord's Day. Sunday is both the first day of the week, reminder of the first day of creation, and the eighth day, the day of the new creation, that is the day of the Lord's resurrection. That's why we always pray or sing the joyful verse from Psalm 118 on Easter Day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day. Here it is, Easter Day. Now, the core elements of our Christian faith are very familiar to us, or they should be. We might even take them for granted sometimes because they're so familiar. We believe that Jesus is God, the eternal Son of the Father. We believe that he became man. Though he is eternal, he entered into time. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. Though he is innocent, he took on the consequences of sin for us who are not innocent. He was crucified, died, and was buried, as we commemorated on Good Friday. And on the third day, that is today, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he's united with the Father in glory. That's the core of the whole story. That doesn't mean that everybody believes it. We proclaim it, we profess it, but not everyone believes it or believes the whole thing. And even Christians sometimes don't understand or accept the central truth of our faith. So what I thought of doing today is pointing out three errors that people make and to show how today, Easter Day, overcomes these errors. I hope it's not too negative a way of reflecting on such a positive celebration, but that's what came to mind. So three errors about that are dispelled by this joyful celebration of Easter. The first error, maybe a group of errors, about the nature of death and what happens afterward. The Greeks, for example, believed, they had a negative view of the body, so they thought that death was to be released from the prison of the body. So to them, resurrection or being alive again in the body didn't appeal to them at all. They had a wrong understanding of what death was. But since we're here in Asia, we can start with one of the fundamental ideas of the great Asian religions, and that is that after death, there's a rebirth, kind of cycle of death, rebirth, death, rebirth. The Hindus believe in reincarnation, as you know, this return of the immortal soul into another mortal body of some form or another. The Buddhists believe in an endless cycle of death and rebirth. And these returns to another life are affected by karma. right? Karma. Their idea is that what we do in this life will affect what will happen in the next life, and on it goes. And so with these ideas in mind, these people wrongly think of Jesus Christ as simply passing on to the highest of these successive stages. No, not at all, not at all. Jesus died once, taking the place of all of us who die once, and then he rose to a new and eternal life so that we can have eternal life. This is an entirely new thing. It's not karma. It's not that Jesus had good karma and so he rose from the dead. He conquered death and started a whole new creation. Okay, so that's one error we have to get past. Wrong ideas about death and what happens after death. The second error, and I think this is more common to Westerners, and including some people who claim to be Christians, and their error is they think that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, not bodily. They will say that this concept of Jesus' resurrection is simply a beautiful and powerful symbol of the enduring impact of his teachings. They say it's his followers' way of saying to the whole world that the legacy of Jesus lives on in us because we believe. And this sounds kind of noble, in fact. It sounds like a desire to honor the memory of Jesus, and it seems like a way of honoring him, his memory, without being unreasonable, without buying into some kind of an irrational story about coming back to life. But in fact, even though it might sound noble to people, it's silly to think that anyone would claim that Jesus was alive if he wasn't. Who would risk his life to strongly claim and to insist on an unpopular and amazing claim that Jesus was alive if it obviously wasn't true? And it's just hard. It's impossible to think that people in the early church would dare to do such a thing and risk their lives for it and die for it. Maybe I can make, I hope this is not too trivial, a trivial comparison, but just to make the point, I remember when I was in high school when Elvis Presley died. That's how old I am. I remember when he died, and he died, okay. But for years, there were fans claiming that he was alive, and that he was seen in different places, in airports, and you know, different strange places. And so there was this claim that he really had not died, or that he was alive again. Now, it was easy enough to prove that they were wrong. All you had to do was go to his tomb, find the dead body of Elvis Presley. Very easy to prove it. In fact, it became a kind of a joke, a kind of running story for the tabloids to say that they saw Elvis again. But no one was martyred for the claim that Elvis was alive. No one laid down his life to claim that Elvis was alive. We can say maybe, you know, they were just so devoted, such devoted fans of Elvis that they wanted his legacy to continue, that they didn't want him to be forgotten. Maybe. But that's nothing like what Jesus' followers say. It's nothing like that. They saw the empty tomb. They themselves were surprised. And then they met the risen Christ, and they met him and saw him and touched his wounds. And they're proclaiming that good news to the world. It's a completely different thing than simply a beautiful memory or a symbol of an enduring legacy. Okay, so get that idea out of the way that Jesus didn't rise. He did rise. He rose, not only coming back to life, he rose to another level of life. Okay, let's get to the third error. And this is maybe the worst and probably the most common one of all. And that is the idea that it doesn't really matter what happened to Jesus. It doesn't really matter what happened. If Jesus lived at all, and people say, well, I don't know. And even if he was executed on the cross, and even if he did rise again, they say, well, it has no impact on me. It has no connection to my life, so it doesn't really matter. I still have to go to work. I still have to care for my family, my children. I still have to deal with my daily burdens and responsibilities in a world that's chaotic and disorderly and corrupted. So if you want to believe in this Jesus story, fine, that's up to you, they'll say. That's up to you. You can believe it if you want to, but it really makes no difference in my life. Now, you might not think this way. I hope you don't. But you certainly know people who think this, maybe even members of your own families, because a lot of people think this. It just doesn't matter. Who needs religion, they say. That's just old-fashioned. That's for old people or for people from before the internet or before they invented computers. No. So people think this way. They don't want to be bothered with religion. It may be culturally rich, beautiful, it may help some people, but ultimately it's irrelevant. That's the position of people who have no faith. And it's correct in one sense, because if someone has no faith, well then he or she doesn't gain the full benefit of what Jesus has accomplished and what we're celebrating. But it's terribly false to say that it doesn't matter. It's terribly false. It's a deadly error. Because if death has been overcome, if the trap of sin that has enslaved us from the beginning has been broken open, well, then we're in an entirely new condition. We don't need to live in fear of what will happen. We don't need to live in effort of constant self-preservation. We don't need to live in anxiety about the future. Jesus' resurrection changes everything. It's exactly the opposite of what they say, that it's irrelevant. It's relevant to everything. It changes the whole purpose and destination of our very life. We're not just struggling to make a living and then we die. We're not just meaningless specks of dust in a meaningless universe. Now we have an opportunity to live forever in glory because of Jesus' resurrection. Now, since we're in the Jubilee year, 2025, which identifies us all as pilgrims of hope, it's fitting to point out that today, Easter Day, reveals why we have any hope at all. Because if there's no resurrection, well, then we can't be pilgrims of hope because we have nothing to hope in. We're going to die and that's the end of it. No. We are pilgrims of hope because sin and death have been defeated. Definitively defeated. Yes, we're still sinners. We're still weak. But we are sinners set free by divine mercy. A new door, a new way, a new and everlasting life is now open to us. That's why we're pilgrims of hope. Okay, how do we get this gift? How do we share in this new risen life? How can we get past the common claim of unbelievers that all this makes no difference, really? Well, the answer to those questions is faith and baptism. Faith and baptism. That's why on this day, on Easter Day, we profess our faith, we profess what we believe, and we renew the promises of our baptism. And we get sprinkled by the holy water, which was blessed last night at the Easter Vigil. We don't need to be baptized again. Once is enough, right? Because we die once, we rise once. But we need to renew our faith. We need to renew our vows of faith. That's what we're going to do in a moment. Because in baptism, we already died with Christ and we have risen with Christ. It was already the beginning of a whole new life, the life of pilgrims of hope. A life free from slavery to sin. A life of union with Jesus Christ, who is alive, risen, and glory. Life in the power of the Holy Spirit. A life that will never end. Even our death, and we will all die, even our death cannot conquer our life in Christ. That's why we can celebrate even when we're suffering, even when we do have bad things in the future. None of those things defeat our Easter faith. That's why we celebrate Easter with great joy, and that's why the Easter word that expresses our joy gets repeated again and again and again. Alleluia, alleluia.